Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. Today we're going to be expanding it into body, mind, spirit power. Why is that important? Well, we're going to be discussing sustainable wellness. In our world today, it is a very real fact that the cost of medical care goes through the ceiling. So why not take a positioning where you empower yourself so that you can enjoy a healthy life, a life with quality, but more importantly, be consciously mindful of what you're doing with the understanding of why certain things benefit you. You don't have to be an extremist in any way. And that's where my guest, Heather Reed, and she had an associate, Matt Mumber. They worked together to produce this very, very fine publication, Sustainable Wellness, an Integrative Approach to Transform Your Mind, Your Body, and Your Spirit. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. I'm so happy to be here.
Heather, this is such a huge topic, and I know that your book has taken a lot of information and compressed it into what I would describe a layman's format so that it's easy to understand and easy to work with. I want to give a little background about you. You're very much involved with yoga. You have done a lot of work with it, finding that it has been a very useful tool to help people come into balance with themselves. You also have become involved with facilitating Cancer Navigators residential retreats and various support groups online, as well as working with people one-on-one in Texas, which is where you reside. Now, Dr. Matthew Mumber, the two of you worked on this book together. He helped to found this group, the Cancer Navigators, but he is also an award-winning board-certified radiation oncologist. And he's a co-director of the MD Ambassador Program and Integrative Oncology Program at Harbin Clinic in Rome, Georgia. Now, the two of you are very complementary to each other, but how did you ever get together? I mean, this man is in one environment, you're in another environment. Where did you meet? At a coffee shop?
That's a great question, Donna. Actually, I used to live in Atlanta, Georgia, so that solves part of the riddle. And it was Matt who, after finishing his traditional medical education, went on to study with Dr. Andrew Weil. He went through his fellowship program in order to get the tools to become an integrative physician. And after that program, he went out to Bolinas, California, to Commonweal, which is a wonderful retreat center that works with cancer patients and other groups. And while he was there, he expressed an interest in starting similar work in Northwest Georgia. He happened to be talking to one of my yoga teachers and mentors, Yana H. Chapman, who is on the senior staff there. And she said, "Oh, you need to talk to Heather." So before she could even give me a heads up that I met this wonderful physician and he's going to contact you, I got a call from Matt Mumber. That was a little over 10 years ago, and we've been working together ever since, while I was living in Atlanta and since I've moved to Austin, Texas.
Integrative medicine. The term is a very broad term. And it is something that has been long in coming. I think if anyone examines many of the old, old physicians and how they worked with patients, it was used. A good doctor always worked with the integrative approach because they knew. I mean, this is historically written. The Arabs centuries ago knew that the mind and emotions and traumas had a physiological effect. All of this finally were publicly acknowledging it. And it just is very thrilling to me when I hear about someone that makes a choice on their own that says, okay, I've gone through this particular aspect of training, which is wonderful, but I want to find out about this. So I think we're evolving slowly but surely, and usually it takes about 50 years for change to evolve in medicine. That's been stated by I don't know how many people throughout history. And here we are finally on the brink of understanding that illness is not just something like an invisible bacteria that assaults the body. There's many other components that can go on. And there are so many things that affect people today that have a chemical basis in them, a psychological basis, an emotional basis, and you have to look at the whole package. I really think this is really marvelous. What I want to do is mention for just a moment, there is a foreword by Dr. Andrew Weil, and he makes a statement in his foreword that the consumer is demanding this now. A lot of consumers are just walking away from many physicians that are not open to this. That's a big whoa-hoo as far as I'm concerned. And I think that it's a big step forward, and also that we have an innate capacity within ourselves to heal. And this is wonderful. This is not woo-woo verbal juice that he's dishing out. This is a reality that anyone, I think, associated with medicine has a very good, if they're wise, a very deep understanding of. Let's start out with how someone can begin this. Now, your book, Sustainable Wellness, is something that if a person got it, they could read through it, and they could just take one bite of it at a time. When you were putting this book together, how did the two of you determine how to break it down and put the information into digestible chunks?
That's a great question, and I love what you said about taking one bite at a time, because that's exactly it. The way we decided to organize the book was a very natural, organic process, because it reflects the work we've been doing together for the last decade or so, where we, as best we can, using the tools of modern medicine and the ancient practices of yoga together to address every aspect of the individual. And I think that it's true that in our contemporary times, we've embraced science, which is a wonderful thing, but at the same time, we've let other important elements drop away, the other aspects of our humanity, which contribute to our balance in life or our imbalances in life. So structuring the book was straightforward for us because it does follow what we've seen, what we've witnessed with our own eyes in our own lives, this process of mindfully examining every part of ourselves, whether it's the obvious things of nutrition and physical activity, to the more subtle aspects of stress management, who are we in terms of our heritage, people who have taught us, mentored us, affected us, and our spirituality, which is a part of us that often is not addressed when it comes to health and living in balance.
I think the last section that you mentioned, or I should say the last word, you mentioned spirituality. To me, it's very sad when people think that this has to do with an organized religion of some kind. It doesn't have anything to do with that. spirituality is a very, very individual experience, at least in my observation. And you don't need to put a name to it. The word faith can be used, but it is something that belongs to you totally and completely. You don't have to have any games or gimmicks with it. But it is part of the whole package. And many, many people find when that aspect is missing that there is an agony, a loneliness, an emptiness. I mean, there's so many different words, a void, and they don't understand why that is so significant. And I remember talking with someone once, and I was standing in line somewhere, and we were talking about various groups and organizations and religions, just a little chit-chat. And this woman said to me, my husband doesn't have anything to do with religions, but his religion is nature. And I thought, very nice way to put something that he had to find something else that identified with his own individuality. And I think that's great. I think however you look at it, whatever works for a person is what works. It doesn't make any difference what title you give to it. It really doesn't need one. It just is. Let's talk about being an active participant. This is something where that's a big step away for a lot of individuals when it comes to wellness. To step away from the indoctrination that someone or something out there has to fix you without your being involved at all, that is a tough belief system to break. What are some of the steps you recommend for people to get past that?
We offer many, many practical steps and suggestions and tools. Throughout the book, we have a list of suggestions we called yoga bits. In other words, bits and pieces of things that we as individuals can drop in through our daily lives, sprinkle in our busy schedules. We know that sometimes horrible things happen very dramatically, but it's often the things that happen incrementally, the stressors, the daily stressors, the bad habits that we fall into that ultimately start to affect our balance and our health. And by sprinkling in little tools, little yoga bits, a breathing practice here or there, sitting under a tree for 5 minutes, finding quiet for 2 minutes every once in a while, these things can have dramatic effects on our lives and our health and our balance over time. And so sometimes we like when someone says, oh, if you only need to do this, everything will be fine. But I think really and truly we know that it can't happen that way, that there has to be responsible participation by the individual in the process, and that there has to be consistency. And we're all very busy. We're not intending that you find 1, 2, 3 hours a day to carve out and try something new. We're suggesting that if you sprinkle in with awareness and mindfulness, catching ourselves in the act when we do things unconsciously, catch our habits, catch our stressors, and then use these small interventions to break that up and start the momentum in another direction towards more balance.
You have a lovely story in the first part of the book, which I really, really enjoyed. It was about you as a little girl, and you were walking through fields of wildflowers, and you had picked a bunch of them, put them in a jar of water, and your dad asked you to do something special. What was that?
I was wondering how the rain got into these little tiny petals of these wild flowers. And so after we put them in a big jar, he asked me to go to the kitchen and to choose a bottle of food coloring. And I had no idea why, but I followed his instructions, and I put a few drops of food coloring in the water and watched it turn blue. And I thought, what in the world is going to happen next? And I asked him, and he just smiled and twinkled at me, and he said, "You'll see. Wait and see." So throughout the day, I kept running to the flowers and checking them and checking them, and nothing seemed to be happening. But by the next morning, these beautiful Queen Anne's lace, originally white, had turned blue as the water had traveled up the thin stems of the flowers and entered those tiny little petals. And it was magical to me. It is still magical to me that those few small drops of food coloring could affect the whole flower and what they look like. And my father explained to me what happened and how stems pull the water up, and that's how the rain gets in. And later, I learned a more scientific explanation. But the magic was the thing, to witness that transformation with my own eyes, to see those blue flowers. And now as an adult, to see how these small things that we do over time, the good things and sometimes the not-so-good habits, can have an effect on our whole expression, our whole life's expression as we are in the world.
And there's another side to that story, which I thought was very, very special. Here you have the one instance, and it's a very good example of we absorb whatever we take in. That's mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Also, the reverse is true, because you had an experience where there was a retreat center, you were involved with doing classes, there were some beautiful, beautiful flowers, and when you went to change, you know, empty out the flowers and the water that had been clear was pink, and the dye from the flower, somebody had put color into the water so that the flowers would appear pink, it had withdrawn out of the flowers and gone back into the water, which is, in my view, an excellent example about how what we are transmutes back into the environment that we live in. And you include that also in the book. And the adage, what goes around comes around, is true. And this can be applied to our environment. If we have an unhealthy environment, it's going to go into our system. It is something that will go out and affect everything around us. We're seeing that in environmental toxicity. So this, it was a very nice way of giving an example that garbage in, garbage out, whatever commonality of thing that you would like to utilize, being mindful about ourselves is a wonderful way to be able to sustain wellness. Now, you make a comment about how small interventions can balance what could end up becoming very, very serious. We need to become aware of ourselves, certain patterns, certain habits that we can do that can totally transform our lives. Talk about your three-legged stool of health. What are those three legs?
That's a wonderful image devised by Matt. It's just a beautiful visualization of this process. The ground that the stool sits on is the ground of awareness, this ability of paying attention to what's going on in the present moment. That is the key. And then as this three-legged stool sits on the ground of awareness, spirituality is the seat. It is parallel to awareness, and awareness and spirituality reflect each other. And then the three legs of the stool are nutrition, physical activity, and stress management. And we know we've all had the experience sitting in a chair or being in a restaurant where the table is tippy or the chair is tippy, and you put the little piece of napkin or something underneath the leg of the chair or the table to bring it back into balance. And this is what we're trying to use in our process of sustainable wellness, to catch our imbalances, whether they happen to be in the leg of nutrition or physical activity, stress management, whatever it might be, to catch those small imbalances before they become serious and may even develop into a chronic disease. As we are never really in a static perfection, it's not humanly possible. We're always readjusting to what happens externally, internally, and the process of paying attention, of catching ourselves in the act, of noticing when the three-legged stool gets a little wonky, then we have a chance of addressing health issues, emotional issues, spiritual issues, before they get completely beyond our being able to fix them in simple ways. And this is the preventative part of our health process, of constantly making these adjustments, which we can do by catching ourselves in the act, by paying more attention to what we're eating, how we're eating, our levels of physical activity, and how we manage stress in our lives.
There are 8 steps that you talk about in the book to lasting health. Mindfulness, knowing yourself, life review, and planning, I think, are very important. But I know that Dr. Matt had some of his own experiences, and I found it fascinating when he was wanting to really become more the healer. He had dedicated himself to medicine. That's a very natural positioning to do, but he was sort of given the instruction that to become a healer, you have to be willing to accept that you can heal. And that was quite an aha for him. Now, the first 3 steps I just mentioned, let's talk for a moment about the step 3, life review and planning. Now, often this can be discussed, but you have some applications that I think are very good, talking about the filters that we have about ourselves, the lens of self, the lens of culture, the lens of the natural world. Let's go into that a little bit.
Yes, we have our filters of the way we experience our individual lives in relationship to the world around us. And these filters are developed over a lifetime, and they're affected by where we come from, from a genetic point of view, from our culture, from our family background, from what we've been exposed to as kids and adults. And it's affected by where we live in the world, whether we live in the United States or another country, whether we're experiencing the ravages of the hurricane in the East Coast right now or a sunny day in Austin, Texas. We're all affected by all these aspects. And then that affects how we relate to each other, how we cope with our own imbalances, the disappointments in life, even our food choices, how we celebrate holidays, with Thanksgiving coming up. We, as Americans, most of us have access to a lot of food and different quantities, vast quantities, and we tend to forget that fulfillment is just as important as being filled. So these lenses of the way we look through the world, to the world, are can become a habit or a little bit unconscious. So in the life review process, we bring mindfulness and awareness to how we got to be who we are in every respect, and looking at it from those 3 different filters as we move forward.
Steps 4 to 8, nutrition, physical activity, stress management, spirituality, and then bringing it all together. Nutrition is, I think, just a fascinating area because all of us are very unique in our own physiology and how we integrate with food dependent on habit patterning, that we have physical activity is something that for some reason has diminished. Well, primarily because of a lot of modern conveniences that we have, which I have to say I'm very grateful for. I don't choose to spend my Mondays, as women years ago would do, doing laundry. That's not exactly my idea of a good time. So I'm very grateful for the washing machine. In fact, that enables me to go out and maybe walk. And one of the things that I find, and I live in the Pacific Northwest right now, the weather's very crisp and cool. It's in the 30s, and it's very refreshing. You just bundle up. I take my little Scotty Victor, and out we go. And it's wonderfully invigorating to me. And the wonder of it is that so often there are things that you're able to experience when you go outside, when you're out in nature. And that is something that you bring up in your book, how physical activity involving other people, animals, really has a big effect on the psyche and on the strength and stamina of the body. The Europeans have been doing this for generations. It's very common. I remember my father, who is from Italy. That was tradition. After dinner, you went for a walk. After lunch, you went for a walk, depending on, you know, where you came from. But it was just natural. You just did it. And it was pleasurable. It was not something that was real fast. You weren't doing power walking. But it enabled the body to digest food more comfortably. And also, it was sort of a socialization time. You'd chat, you'd look at the store windows, whatever happened to be around. This is something that you cover in your book and talking to people about interacting with the natural world. I think this and so much else of what you have in your book is very, very important. Now, you also bring in how to manage stress. Stress management, mind, body, spirit. You give some wonderful exercises in here. And let's for a moment touch on spirituality with the time we have remaining. How is it that you found that this was so significant with people?
I think because of all the conveniences, as you mentioned, and especially our computers and our TVs, we forget that we can't always have the answer to everything. You know, we go to the computer, many of us, and we Google, and with a few keystrokes, we'll have an answer to almost every question. And I think we've forgotten that much of our existence in this world is one of mystery. And when we have such easy access to most answers, to most daily questions, I my concern is that we'll lose the ability to ponder, to question, to sit and reflect on things that may have no immediate answer, to the spiritual aspects of our existence that is where we are truly connected, connected to each other and also with the capital S spirituality, if mm-hmm. you will, the great, great mystery of the universe. Will we continue to be able to dance with mystery at all, or will we lose that capacity? I don't believe we will, but because of our tools and access to speedy internet connections and television people answering questions for us, we tend to lose the capacity to even question why are we here in the first place, and what makes being a human being such a valuable experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think all of that is extremely important. And for those of you listening, I know that if you were able to take the time, not able, but chose to take the time, to invest in yourself, so not only do you have a quality of life, but that you also are going to enjoy the wellness that enables you to appreciate the quality of life that is really yours. And quality of life is more than just having a gazillion dollars. It is having the healthy mind, the body, the spirit, and the soul that makes you really joyous about the experience of life and realizing that there's lots of options to work with. You don't have to be stuck in a box. The book Sustainable Wellness, an Integrative Approach to Transforming Your Body, Mind, and Spirit by Dr. Matt Mumber and Heather Reed is something that I would encourage you to have a highlighter, have a pen right in the book. It's user-friendly, and you don't have to do everything. That's not it. They don't want you to do that. They want you to read, to think, and then choose maybe a little bit here, a little bit there. How can you incorporate an understanding of yourself so that you can have a much richer experience? Life is meant to be lived, not just existed. Check out their website, sustainablewellnessonline.com. That's sustainablewellnessonline.com. Heather Reed, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been a delight having you.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a minute. Don't go away. I've got some other good things to share with you. We'll be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny. They will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now. Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back, and telephone lines are now open if you'd like to call in and chat with me, and if you'd like a reading from me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Call me at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I want to let you know that Patrick Robinson is going to be on the air with us tomorrow. We're going to be talking about power play. It involves the Navy SEALs and so much more. Patrick is just an awesome writer, and I don't often have fiction material that I review, but this is captivating, and it's got a lot of fact in it. So I think you will enjoy it, and Patrick, as always, is going to have some dynamic things to share. So that's going to be our guest for tomorrow. Sustainable Wellness was such an interesting read, and there was a poem inside written by Joyce Rupp, and I really thought it would be very nice to share it with you because it gives an analogy, a perception about life, and it's called, it was originally called The Chipped Cup. That's a nice visual, isn't it? But it was retitled The Perfect Cup. And this is how it reads. It is time for me to see the flaws of myself and stop being alarmed. It is time for me to halt my drive for perfection and to accept my blemishes. It is time for me to receive slowly, evolving growth, the kind that comes in God's own good time and pays no heed to my panicky pushing. It is time for me to embrace my humaneness, to love my incompleteness. It is time for me to cherish the unwanted, to welcome the unknown, to treasure the unfulfilled. If I wait to be perfect before I love myself, I will always be unsatisfied and ungrateful. If I wait until all the flaws, chips, and cracks disappear, I will be the cup that stands on the shelf and is never used. Joyce Rupp, her perceptions, and I think they're very wise ones. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008 is the telephone number to call into. Oh, I have got a yummy chicken recipe with veggies. If you're trying to keep your waistline and hip line and whatever line trim, this is very flavorful, and it's got balsamic vinegar in it, and that gives a whole different effect with the taste buds. So have a pad of paper and pen handy. I'll be sharing that with you in a little bit. Melanie Palotti had this beautiful photograph of the trees, the changing colors, and that's something that I thoroughly enjoy living here in the Pacific Northwest. We don't necessarily have the brilliance all the time out here on the West Coast that you will experience on the East Coast, but it is just magical. And I was so thrilled yesterday when I was out and about and I saw this magnificent maple, huge. It has to be at least 50, 60 years old. And it had this canopy of a brilliant red and varieties of red tones, vermilion, etc., that were in it. And it was situated within some evergreens and had been insulated from the winds that we've had, which is typical for this time of the year. And to drive down a street and all of a sudden see this wonderful, magnificent display of color this time of the year was a glorious, glorious gift and treat. And when I saw this photo this morning as I was preparing for the show, I said, yes, it is just something that absolutely lifts the spirit. And the photo I have in front of me has oranges and golds and, oh, just all kinds of tones. It's the wonderful colors of fall. And this is what Melanie put down. She said, the tall oaks of gold and crimson, elm trees in shades of orange and pink, silver maples shimmering in the sunlight. Showtime in autumn. Oh, and that's so true. It is absolutely showtime. And that's something we need to do. We need to open up ourselves to really paying attention to what's going on around us. Mother Nature has this phenomenal palette of living art that is all around us. And when you have a chance to be aware of it, it's a gift. It's just absolutely invigorating. And it's something we should all learn to enjoy in a very hearty manner. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. Talk, 888-627-6008. Young couples of any generation always have challenges, especially if they have small children. There was a time when families were basically pretty close together, and you'd be able to send your children to grandmothers, or like a young couple I know that we've just met recently that live in our neighborhood. They were telling us how granddad lives down the street, and there's another relative that's about three blocks away, and there's this wonderful family association that their children can have interaction with, and it's great. Well, there was a couple by the name of Bill and Genevieve. They were in a dilemma. They had had a babysitter, and their three children, well, they both were working. What were they going to do? Well, the babysitter's gone, so they made an arrangement where they were with friends, and they were shuttling all the time, trying to make sure that their children were going to be in a comfortable environment. Now, they were out in a rural area, and their friends and family didn't mind, you know, taking care of the children. They understood the circumstances. Nobody was complaining. But this young couple. They were just absolutely exhausted. And they said, you know, this isn't fair. It isn't fair to our children. They need time and attention from us. It isn't fair to family and friends. It just isn't right. How are we going to deal with it? Well, they looked around for daycare facilities. There weren't any. They lived out in a rural area of country. It just wasn't there. So they said, okay, what are we going to do? Now, this is what happened, and this is not uncommon now. It's becoming more and more common. The couple really sat down and worked their numbers. They looked at the salaries of each of them. They looked at their costs, all kinds of things. The decision was made by this young couple that the husband was going to stay home and the wife was going to continue working. She made more money than he did, and this was perfectly all right. The husband said, oh, I'll be a stay-at-home dad. This was going to really work. The children would have one of the parents around all of the time, and there would be that support of the family unity that they wanted. Well, Bill at first thought this was really a kick. Then he became frustrated. His self-esteem started really being affected. He started thinking about how he should be the bread earner in the family, and he began to become resentful of his wife's career successes. One day, he is cooking dinner, and he's got on the apron, and he's preparing everything for his children, and he was watching television like so many people will while they're busy in the kitchen. And a news story came on. Two girls in the area had been abducted and murdered. And he watched and listened to the story. And he had a three-year-old of a girl. And that really had an impact on him when he heard this terrible story. And then he went out on the front porch. He watched his son walk home from the school bus. And Bill had a big wake-up. He realized that if he was at work, he wouldn't be at home, able to watch over the children or even give them hugs. He said to himself, I wouldn't have seen our baby daughter take her first steps or see my son get his first hit at Little League. I am working. I am providing for my family. In fact, I'm doing something quite significant. Bill's self-esteem soared. He no longer was caught in the old paradigm that a man's work was to be at the office. He found that his work was being with his children. Whenever anybody asked him what he did for a living, he said, I am providing a life for my children. Role reversal is not something that is easy for a society typically to be comfortable with. And we're very fortunate in today's world, it is more comfortable to deal with that. But it does take being mindfully aware of the fact that you are doing something that is a contribution, that is very, very significant. How many times have men downplayed the role of the woman being at home? How many times was a woman considered insignificant because she was just a housewife? Well, fortunately, we are evolving out of that. And I say evolving because we're still stuck in a lot of paradigms that don't make any difference. If you are wonderful at working with children, whether you're male or female, that's what you should do. If you're wonderful at working with animals, male or female, that's what you should do. If you are superb at doing administrative work, male or female, that's what you should do. A sex of an individual should not make any difference. And yet we still have glass ceilings that are out there. It'll take more time to get past them. But what a joy to be able to live in a time when we can do that. Ethnicity should not make any difference. A brain doesn't care what body, what head it's in. Intelligence doesn't care whether you're male, female. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't care whether you're African, whether you're European, whether you're Australian, whether you are a Heinz 57. It doesn't care. Little by little, we're coming to that understanding. And if someone at any time tells you, no, that's not the way it is, go ahead, show them. It is the way it is, that who you are is who you are. And one way or another, you can be true to yourself and what your real calling might be. In the case of Bill, the calling was being a stay-at-home dad, which I think is absolutely awesome. And I'm sure his wife felt the very same way. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about easy chicken and garden veggies with balsamic vinegar. Yummy, easy, and quick to fix. We're going to be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Last night, I prepared a dish. I really enjoy chicken. That's one of my favorite meats. And this recipe is so flavorful. And it's so easy. If you get into a time crunch and you want something that's really fast and quick, this is a good recipe to use. You can adapt it using your favorite veggies in whatever form you want. But it is very simple, very basic. Kids typically like it. It has a wonderful flavor to it. And don't be afraid to use different spices or herbs that might be your personal favorites as well. Now, this is how it goes. You're going to need 4 slices of bacon, and you want the bacon cut into 1/2-inch pieces. If you don't want to use regular bacon, there is turkey bacon. But for me, there's additional flavor when you use the bacon. It's just wonderful. You're going to need 4 boneless, skinless chicken breast halves. That'll be about 1 1/4 pounds of meat. 1/2 teaspoon of garlic salt, 1/4 teaspoon of coarsely ground pepper, 8 ounces of fresh green beans, and of course those green beans need to be trimmed. You need a medium, or you could use a red yellow pepper, but this is sort of like a rainbow dish. It's going to have all kinds of colors in it. So a medium yellow pepper is very good. Cut into 1/2-inch pieces. And if you don't have yellow, use the red, use the green. There will be a difference in the taste. The green pepper has a different flavor from the red pepper. So anyway, use it whatever you have available. 2 medium plum tomatoes. You want to cut them in half and then slice them crosswise, and it'll come to about 1 cup. And if you wanted to, you could use 1 cup of the little small tomatoes, too. You're going to need 1/2 cup of balsamic vinaigrette dressing, or your favorite Italian dressing, whatever you prefer. I prefer the balsamic myself. This is what you need. In a 12-inch nonstick skillet, you put your bacon in. Cook it for about 3 to 4 minutes, stirring it. It's going to get nice and crispy. And you just want to let that stay right in the pan, because you're going to take your chicken and you want to sprinkle both sides of the chicken with your salt and pepper. add the chicken to the bacon in the skillet, and you cook it about 3 to 5 minutes or until browned on both sides. And if you want any of the excess bacon fat, you can discard, but you're really not going to have all that much fat from 4 pieces of bacon, in my observation. But it's up to you if you want to do that. Just remember, your juices from the chicken will be mingling in with that bacon fat, and it's going to add really good flavor. Now, this is what you need to do. You need to add 1/4 cup of water and your green beans to the skillet. You're going to cover it. It's on medium-low heat. That's going to cook for about 8 minutes. Put in your peppers, cook them for another 3 to 5 minutes. And every once in a while, during that 3 to 5 minute time, you want to go in and stir your vegetables a little bit. When the juice of the chicken is clear, when the center of the thickest part of your chicken breast is cut, then you know it's done. Then you stir in the cut tomatoes and your dressing, cook uncovered for about 2 minutes. Until your tomatoes are thoroughly heated. Bingo, you've got this wonderfully flavorful dish. You could serve it with rice, pasta, potatoes, whatever, or quinoa if you wanted to have additional protein with the meal. And this is a dish that any of your fresh vegetables you could add to. If you wanted to use broccoli, you could use broccoli or snap peas or anything like this. It's a great way. It's a basic recipe, in my estimation, that's quick, easy to fix, and something that is going to be satisfying, especially on a brisk, cold night as we are getting closer and closer to winter. By the way, I've been talking with some people that are back in New York, and they are weathering, and I'm not meaning this as a pun, but they are getting through this other storm front that has come through. But many people are just returning to work. They were out of work for a week and a day, and they're catching up with a lot of things that they've been behind on. So I want to say God bless to all of those people, all of those crews that are working overtime to get power back to people, to bring as much normalcy as is humanly possible with the devastation that Hurricane Sandy brought. I just think this dedication of these hundreds and thousands of people that are often just out there without very much attention, we don't hear much about them, need to say thank you to them. Because without these sincerely dedicated people trying to bring, again, power back and all of the other good things that we need, the roads back into order, clearing the tunnels, working with so much that is so unpleasant, and no complaining, they're just out there wanting to help as much as they can. This is just an awesome job. Thanks so very much for doing it, because there are millions of people that appreciate what you are doing, even though you may be nameless. Now, what about fixing pumpkin pie for the holidays? Have you ever baked a pumpkin pie and find that it cracks right down the middle? Well, there's a trick to not having your pie crack. You just bake it until the filling is barely set in the center, but firm on the edges, because the outside cooks more quickly than the middle. So that's just something to keep in mind. You bake your pumpkin pie until the filling is barely set in the center, but firm on the edges. But the one that I always battled with, and I don't know about you, is how to keep the pie crust from getting soggy. Have you ever had pie crust that is so soggy? You go, what could I do? The moisture from the filling really makes the pie soggy. Here is something that really works. It's surprising, but it works. You want to brush the bottom of your crust with a beaten egg white, or partially bake your crust. Don't bake it entirely. Partially bake it before you pour in your filling. The egg white is amazing how it creates that seal. Just a tip. If you're like me and you love to fix pies, one of my favorites is pecan. And that is something I'll be sharing a recipe with you on that, because I have a very simple recipe where I use maple syrup. I don't use corn syrup. I haven't for years. And people will say, boy, this is the best pecan pie I have ever had. It's so simple. It is so easy, and it is so delicious. Donna Sebo here. My goodness, tomorrow we are going to be chatting with Patrick Robinson about power play. It's all about government, Navy SEALs, oh, and a plot that is just awesome. We're going to be talking with him tomorrow and sharing much more with you. And with Patrick, we're going to be going to England to talk with him. So we will be traveling across the waters via technology to interview this wonderful man, Patrick Robinson. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Take charge of who you are because, wow, you've got so much to accomplish in this life experience of yours. I don't want you to miss out on anything. God bless. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you might be. And we'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place. Talk with you manana. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.